1 Kings 17, verse 17 through 24, this story you will probably recognize once we start to read it, but it is one that I think can help us to underscore some of the things that we said this morning about love and service to others. 1 Kings 17, 17 through 24. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned a house became ill. He grew worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow am I staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry. The boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room to the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." Let's pray. Father, we pray that we would be known as people of God, men and women of God, and that people would know that what we speak of is true. May the words that come from our mouths help people to understand, Lord, what it is that you are trying to say to this generation. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Are you a person of God? Are you God's person? Would be another way to say that. Are you God's person? How in the world do we tell when a person is a person of God? Is it because they say they're a person of God? Is there something recognizable? Are there some criteria that we can key in on that brings to mind the Lord when we see this person? I mean, I've seen some people over the years, I didn't think about the Lord, I thought about the devil. You know, they didn't act very nice. But when people look at us, do they see us as God's person? I mean, is it some way that we appear to be genuine or that we speak fluently about the things of God? Is that we promise bountifully to do the things that God says we should do? Do we make a good impression? What is it that draws people to the Lord? There's an old word I still like to use every now and then. It's called winsome. And it is that we draw people because of our character or personality. And I was taught this: if you are winsome, you might win some. And I think that's what happens in this passage of Scripture, that it's recognized that he is, Elijah, a man of God. I think we can learn from the Scriptures how to tell if a person is of God. Moreover, I think we can determine if our lives are in keeping with a person who should be recognized as a person of God. So we look at the prophet Elijah. It's recognized. He had the power to be seen as a man from God. In this scripture lesson, I think we see that, and Elijah does it in the way that he loves people, prays for people, and serves people. Number one, true persons of God love people. I read a story about E.B. Hill, a black pastor who was involved with his church during the riots, Watts riots, in Los Angeles. I don't know if you remember those or not, or historically can see that. I see those images and the burning and the Molotov cocktails and the cars burning in the streets and things that happened during that time. E.V. Hill was told to disassociate himself with white people. He was a black pastor. But he said he could not do that. That's not what God wanted him to do. He couldn't do that and be a person of God. And so he got a phone call the night before someone said his car would be bombed. You can imagine the fear and the angst that would be happening. Somebody was going to sneak somehow something into it. And he told his wife about that. So, you know, they looked at the car, but, you know, the next morning, you can't stay up all night. It wasn't a time when there were video cameras where you could put a camera on it and watch it. It was just try to see if maybe it wouldn't happen. E.B. Hill said he fell asleep, and he woke up the next morning, and he looked out, and his car was gone. And it was several hours later that finally the car pulled up in the driveway, and his wife got out. And he said, what if the car had been bombed? She said, well, I would rather that I die than you die. E.V. Hill said, I never asked my wife again if she loved me. I think when we look at what Jesus did for us, can we not say, I don't need to ask if he really loves me? But what do people see in you that makes them sure that you love them? That there's something in your character that is a godly kind of love that looks to people and rejoices in what God is. I think when we rejoice with people when they're happy and we mourn with people when they mourn, it builds a bridge, doesn't it, to love? It shows us that we're the kind of people that love people, that recognize the need for that. I think the demons of selfishness and self-sufficiency and self-satisfaction have been exorcised in a person's life when they truly love God. All that stuff is gone. And now it's not about me, it's about somebody else. And that is torn from my life. Elijah, in the story, you know, was boarding in the house of a widow and her son. I imagine the feeling of the woman when her child stopped breathing. Imagine her pain. I worked with a boss, matter of fact, it is the current president of what was the Baptist Foundation of Oklahoma, and now we use as another name. They had a SIDS baby, their first child, the only boy they had. And I know the pain and the angst that his family had from finding a child that had stopped breathing in a crib. I look at her and I wonder, I can hear her say, my son is dead. We experience the anger that she must have had over that. And then she throws that anger out at Elijah. Have you ever walked into something and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, wait a minute, what did I do? Someone lashes out against you when it's really nothing to do with you. And that's what happened to Elijah. Did you come here to kill my son? It's basically what she asked. What have you got against me? You're supposed to be a man of God. That's what she's saying. I visited with the trustees and the deacons this week. A lady came banging on the door of the parsonage, taking the screen and slamming the screen trying to get my attention. I had earphones in, so it's just like, it was bizarre. And in my discussion with her, she did not get what she wanted, and she lashed out against me. There are those people who that happens. I would have helped that woman had she at least listened. I tried to help her, but she would not listen. Can you feel her guilt in this story? You've come to my house to bring back my sin to my remembrance and cause the death of my son? Who do you know that's going through a time of distress? Who do you know that's going through a time of disease? Who do you know that's going through a time of despair? And maybe they're lashing out and they need the love of God. And you can be the person of God to love them. You need to be able to feel their pain, their experience, their anger, their guilt. And a true person of God who loves will love people through their pain, through their anger, through their guilt. And understand that God loves people the way they are, warts and all. Can I get an amen? He loved us that way. And if he loved us that way, doesn't he want us to love everyone else that way? Love as I've loved you. Didn't this what we read this morning? As I've loved you, love one another. That is difficult. When I look at Elijah's life and I hear what he did not storm out of the house. He did not leave. He didn't say, "Who are you to talk to me like that?" But he took the boy and he cried out to God. He loved the woman through her pain. This week, you may have an opportunity to do something like that. To go before and intercede for someone for the love of God. Be open, be sensitive, and don't recoil when someone lashes out. You know they're in pain. How can you help them? You love them through this week. I think a person of God loves people. I think, secondly, true persons of God pray for people. George Mueller was a famous missionary, and he accomplished great things for God, a great person of prayer. One day he was speaking to a group of seminary students, and as an old man, he finished his address. He'd preached the sermon. Everybody, "Oh yeah, we got to hear George Mueller. It's great." Then finally someone asked, "Mr. Mueller, some of us would like to ask you a question." He said, "Okay, what? What is your secret?" Mueller pulled his chair back and began to bend his old, cold limbs, the story goes, and he knelt to the floor. He said, "This is the secret. This is my secret." One of his biographers years later told the story that they went to his house by his bedside, and when they moved the furniture and got it out of the way, there right next to his bed were two parallel lines where someone had knelt over the years and rubbed the wood with his knees. That was his secret. Prayer. James in the New Testament was called Camel Knees. That was his nickname because he spent so much time on his knees before the Lord. Those who worship at the altar of me, my, and mine only hear a monologue when they talk to God. It's just a list of things I want. And it's like a wish list, but it's really not even filled with power. It's just them talking to themselves. Some people even think that's what prayer really is. It's just me talking to myself and encouraging myself to do something. A self-centered person of sinfulness will go to the altar and only come back with themselves. But when you and I go to the altar as people of God, we come away with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, don't we? We come knowing the Father. We come with that experience of Jesus and then the Spirit living within us. We do that through a dialogue, not a monologue. We talk to God. We actually talk, and he hears us, and he speaks to us. "See if I will not," what? "Answer. Call unto me and see if I won't answer." How do you do that? Well, you do it through praise. You do it through thanksgiving. You do it through confession and petition. You do it through intercession. Those are the things that we do to connect to God. And if we are really true persons of God, we pray for people, not just ourselves. That idea of interceding for someone else, praying on their behalf. Their pain becomes your pain. Their need becomes your need. You want to see them succeed over yourself. And so you pray for people more than you pray for yourself. That's hard sometimes to do because we have needs ourselves. There's no denying that. I mean, you read in Psalms, I mean, how many of those prayers are, Lord, help me? I mean, they really are. When you read through the Psalms, the psalmist is crying out to the Lord many times for assistance and help, for information. But yet, I think Jesus wants us to pray for people over ourselves sometimes to discover a selflessness. Listen to Elijah's prayer. Oh my God, let this child's soul come into him again. Elijah had taken the breathless child to his room, the upper chamber, laid him on his own bed, stretched him out, laid upon the child three times, and his love for people stimulated him to pray that something happened, make a difference in this person's life. A true person of God will pray for people over themselves. Elijah didn't go upstairs, leave the boy downstairs dead, and go, God, why are they talking to me like this? But yet sometimes, don't we do something like that? We wonder why we're in such a state as opposed to what can we do with this experience? What do you want me to learn out of this experience? Or just at the base, trusting God through that experience. Elijah knew God so well that he could go and pray to him for that boy and not even worry about what the woman said about him. You know, I worry about my reputation. I don't want it to be a bad reputation. But do I care for what people think about me over what I need to do for them? That's difficult. It's hard. But yet I think if we're going to be true people of God, we need to pray for people. Thirdly, true persons of God serve people. When you, again, think of me, my, and mine, those kind of worshipers, what they do is shove God off the throne. Now, God's on the throne. Amen. I get that. But on the throne of their heart, they've shoved God and sat down on the throne. When I pray for just stuff for myself, when I worry just about myself, it is, again, that monologue that only worships what I want. I expect others to bow down to me when I sit on the throne of my heart. I want you to see me as important. I want you to see me as valuable. I want you to see me as someone who needs to be taken seriously when I sit on the throne of my heart. But when the Lord sits on the throne, when He is there, when it is the altar of the Father, the altar of the Son, the altar of the Holy Spirit, then service comes from that experience. I look at the throne and I want to know, what can I do to please God? I want to be the servant. I want to deny myself and to take up my cross and follow Him. Isn't that what He asked me to do? Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. We do not live in a society that wants to deny themselves. We want everything. At least that's what television and all the things that sell us stuff tells us, that we need everything. When Elijah came down from the upper room with the child, he delivered the son to the mother and said, "See, your son lives." Elijah's service, I think, created a bridge between his love and his prayer to an activity. we can say we love people, never involve ourselves in their lives by praying for them, and never do anything for them. Or we can let our love drive us to be concerned about people and ultimately do something for them, to serve people. Deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow Him. That's what Jesus did when you talked this morning, David, about washing people's feet. And oh, by the way, I wanted to say it this morning, I'll say it tonight. It's not Brother Marty's time, it's God's time. Amen? It's the Lord's time. Hey, we need to have, I don't want everything so scheduled that God can't get in. I'm sorry, God, we've got this all planned. You can't talk to us any other way. So I appreciate that. I really do. I'm sensitive to that. It's not my time, it's God's time. But He built a bridge between the need of the mother and the son. I think we're bridge builders. We build bridges to God because of our love for people and our prayer for people and whatever activity that we can do to show them that God loves them. We've got some couples in our church that are here because of people's love. They've loved them so much that they can't imagine not coming here because of what they've done for them in the past. Things their family wouldn't even do for them. That's what we do when we love people. We do things for them. We exercise things that help them to see. Many years ago, Thornton Wilder wrote a magnificent play. You've probably seen it, maybe you even did it in your high school, called My Town, or Our Town, rather. One of the scenes in that story is of Emily, if you know the story. Emily dies. And Emily's given the chance to come back in this story one day. Pick one day that you can come back to and you can experience that day. She's in the graveyard and they're standing around talking, all the spirits, and she says, I want to go to my 12th birthday. And all her friends in the graveyard said, you don't want to do that. No, don't go. Don't go. And in the story, Emily goes back and she comes down the stairs and she's got her birthday dress on and her curls are bouncing and she's all dressed up for her birthday. She goes into the kitchen with her mother, if you know the story, and says, Mother, look at me. But her mother is so busy making the birthday cake for her, she never looks at her. Mother, look at me. I'm the birthday girl. Okay, birthday girl, sit down and eat your breakfast, and continues to make the cake. Mama, look at me. Never looks at her because she's so busy. Then her papa comes in. Papa comes in and he's making money. He's making money for everybody. He's working at being the provider. And she says the same thing to him. Papa, look at me. But he's so busy, he never looks at her. Brother comes in. He's so involved in doing all the things in his life that are important to him that on her birthday, her day of days, nobody looks at her. And so the scene ends with Emily standing in the middle of the stage, saying, please, somebody, just look at me. Please look at me. Nobody does. And when they don't, she turns to her mother once more and says, please, Mama. And then with her head held, the story, Wilder has her saying, take me back. I don't want to be here anymore. Do human beings ever realize life while they live it, she says? Every minute? And the story leaves you with that thought. Do we really experience life, which is the relationship between people? Life is not the birthday party. Life is the people, isn't it? And there are a group of people out there who are saying, look at me. See me. Help me. Would somebody just look at me? I wonder how many people fall through the cracks before we start loving them. praying for them, building bridges to them? How many people will go to the graveyard, so to speak, and pray for someone to have built a bridge to them? Is our salvation so seemingly secure that we ignore everybody else? I'm saved. My four, no more. You know, I've got my family saved. I'm good. But do we worry about everyone else? I think a true person of God, like Elijah, loves people, prays for people, and serves people. Gives them everything they have. I think that's what Elijah did. And I know that you are people of God. I've seen it in you. Please do not hear me and say I'm stepping on your toes or pointing fingers, because I'm not. This was a story that I read this week and felt that we needed to hear in light of that humble love of Christ we talked about this morning and the sacrifice that he gave for us. Bobby was an 18-year-old high school student, and he was dependent upon a dialysis machine. Once a week, he had to travel to the hospital where he was hooked up to the kidney machine, and it was in the rural area of a state where there just weren't many hospitals, and it was 100 miles to find any place where they could use the machines. They were scarce. And sometimes you had to wait. One of Bobby's many visits, he went to the hospital. He met a 6-year-old boy like himself who was recovering from a kidney operation, but he still needed the use of that. But he was in a lot of pain, and he needed the machine. Bobby was touched by the courage of the young boy as he had to wait sometimes hours till he got his chance to use the machine. And he could see the agony and the pain on the small boy's face. During periods going back and forth to the hospital, Bobby discovered that he had cancer in addition to the kidney issues that he had. He was maybe going to live 3 months or so, and then that was going to be it. Bobby was a Christian. And like anyone, though, the news initially overwhelmed him, but then he began to think about it and came to realization that God had given him everything in life that was really important, and he wanted to make his life count for Christ while he had the time. The little boy was also facing death if he could not get the use of the machine on a regular basis. Bobby couldn't stop thinking about the boy, and he was compelled again to make his life count, and so in the end, he refused the use of the kidney machine, giving his space to the boy that he might live. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus gave selflessly. Bobby gave selflessly. We should give selflessly through our love, through our prayer, and through our service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and ask you to help us to be God's people. Not just take the name and slap it on as one more title that we have, husband, father, God's person, but really honestly be a person of God. That the words that come from our mouth are truth. May the story of Elijah and the widow teach us the importance of building bridges to people through our love. We cannot force people to Christ. We cannot beat them over the head with Bible verses. We must show the love of Christ. Help us to do that. Open doors that we can do that for people. And may this week be a time that you use us to build a bridge to you. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.